Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Memor by Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Dod, the seventh parak Hasocher Sopolim. The seventh parak has been generously sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Marcel and Tammy Scheinman, Lezecher Nishmas Yisrael Isser Ben Zion Ben Yaakov, May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan declared, Ana Ishtari Meshapira Yushalayim, I remain from the beautiful ones of Yushalayim, which Rashi says refers to a shining form and face. The Gemara details a method to see a semblance of Rabbi Yochanan's beauty. He's not mentioned in a list of the most beautiful men in history because he lacked a beard. Rabbi Yochanan would sit near the woman's mikveh where they would see him after tefillah, so they have children as beautiful and as learned in Torah as he. The rabbis asked him if he's not concerned about Ayin Hara, and he responded that he's a descendant of Yosef, over whom the evil eye has no power, because the pasuk describes Yosef as Ben Poros Ali Ayin, a charming son to the eye, darshaned as Ole Ayin, those who rise over the eye. Alternatively, Yaakov blessed Yaakov's sons with a comparison to fish. Madagin should be yum, just as fish in the sea. My machasimosam ve'ena ayin sholetes behen. Water covers them, and the eye therefore has no power over them. Avzar shel Yosef ve'ena ayin sholetes behen. So too, regarding Yosef's descendants, the evil eye has no power. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan was once swimming in the Yarden, and Reish Lakish, who was then a robber chieftain, jumped in after him. Rabbi Yochanan commented, Chelach l'araisa, your strength is befitting for Torah. Reish Lakish responded, Shufra Chanashe, your beauty is befitting for a woman. Rabbi Yochanan told him that if he would do teshuvah, he could marry Rabbi Yochanan's sister, who was more beautiful than he. Reish Lakish agreed, and he found he could not leap back out to retrieve his clothing. Rashi explains that merely accepting the yoke of Torah weakened him. Rabbi Yochanan taught him and made him into a great man. Once, they were discussing when metal utensils are completed with regard to Tumah, and when Reish Lakish disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan commented, Listab listo yuse yada, a robber knows the implements of his robbery. Reish Lakish asked him how Rabbi Yochanan benefited him, since he was initially called Rebbe, meaning the bandit's leader, and now was also called Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan replied that he brought him under the wings of the Shechina. Rabbi Yochanan was disheartened, and Reish Lakish passed away. Rabbi Yochanan was inconsolable despite an attempt to send a replacement for Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan ultimately lost his sanity, and the rabbis prayed for mercy for him, and he passed away. And point number three, the Gemara relates that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who had arrested suspected thieves, was concerned about possibly arresting innocent people, and accepted suffering on himself as atonement. The Gemara describes the massive amounts of blood and pus which oozed from his sores, and the food his wife prepared for his recovery. At night, he would tell his suffering, Achai v'rayai bo, my brothers and friends come afflict me. In the morning, he would dismiss them because of the disruption to his learning. When his wife heard he was inviting the suffering upon himself, she left him, but food was brought to him by sailors who had been saved in his merit. When he was dying, he was concerned that his burial would not be properly tended to, and instructed his wife to lay him to rest in the attic. He lay there between 18 and 22 years, and whenever a hair would fall out, blood would come out. One time a worm came out of his ear, and he appeared to his wife in a dream to explain that it was punishment for not sufficiently protesting the disgrace of a rabbinical student. A voice would emanate from the attic to resolve monetary disputes. The Gemara describes his eventual burial in the cave of his father, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Yochanan declared, Ana Ishtari Meshapira Yushalayim, I remain from the beautiful ones of Yushalayim, which Rashi says refers to a shining form and face. The Gemara details a method to see a semblance of Rabbi Yochanan's beauty. He's not mentioned in a list of the most beautiful men in history because he lacked a beard. Rabbi Yochanan would sit near the woman's mikveh where they would see him after tefillah, so they have children as beautiful and as learned in Torah as he. The rabbis asked him if he was not concerned about Ayin Hara, and he responded that he's a descendant of Yosef, over whom the evil eye has no power, because the pasuk describes Yosef as Ben Poros Ali Ayin, a charming son to the eye, darshaned as Ole Ayin, those who rise over the eye. Alternatively, Yaakov blessed Yaakov's sons with a comparison to fish. Madagin should be yum, just as fish in the sea. My machasimosam ve'ena ayin sholetes behen. Water covers them, and the eye therefore has no power over them. Avzar shel Yosef ve'ena ayin sholetes behen. So too, regarding Yosef's descendants, the evil eye has no power. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan was once swimming in the Yarden, and Reish Lakish, who was then a robber chieftain, jumped in after him. Rabbi Yochanan commented, Chelach l'araisa, your strength is befitting for Torah. Reish Lakish responded, Shufra Chanashe, your beauty is befitting for a woman. Rabbi Yochanan told him that if he would do teshuvah, he could marry Rabbi Yochanan's sister, who was more beautiful than he. Reish Lakish agreed, and he found he could not leap back out to retrieve his clothing. Rashi explains that merely accepting the yoke of Torah weakened him. Rabbi Yochanan taught him and made him into a great man. Once, they were discussing when metal utensils are completed with regard to Tumah, and when Reish Lakish disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan commented, Listab listo yuse yada, a robber knows the implements of his robbery. Reish Lakish asked him how Rabbi Yochanan benefited him, since he was initially called Rebbe, meaning the bandit's leader, and now was also called Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan replied that he brought him under the wings of the Shechina. Rabbi Yochanan was disheartened, and Reish Lakish passed away. Rabbi Yochanan was inconsolable despite an attempt to send a replacement for Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan ultimately lost his sanity, and the rabbis prayed for mercy for him, and he passed away. And point number three, the Gemara relates that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who had arrested suspected thieves, was concerned about possibly arresting innocent people and accepted suffering on himself as atonement. The Gemara describes the massive amounts of blood and pus which oozed from his sores and the food his wife prepared for his recovery. At night, he would tell his suffering, "Achai v'rayai bo, my brothers and friends, come afflict me." In the morning, he would dismiss them because of the disruption to his learning. When his wife heard he was inviting the suffering upon himself, she left him, but food was brought to him by sailors who had been saved in his merit. When he was dying, he was concerned that his burial would not be properly tended to, and instructed his wife to lay him to rest in the attic. He lay there between 18 and 22 years, and whenever a hair would fall out, blood would come out. One time a worm came out of his ear, and he appeared to his wife in a dream to explain that it was punishment for not sufficiently protesting the disgrace of a rabbinical student. A voice would emanate from the attic to resolve monetary disputes. The Gemara describes his eventual burial in the cave of his father, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Pei Daled, and this siman was suggested to us by Aaron Morisot from Queens. He suggested that Pei Daled is a launch pad, a rocket ship with a launch pad. So here goes. The beautiful rabbi with the radiant face sitting on a rocket launch pad next to a woman's mikveh shaped like a rocket ship told a powerful robber in the water right near him, Hilcho L'Araisa. After seeing him jump from a building where a rabbi suffering inside was heard every night inviting afflictions upon himself. Once again, slow motion. The beautiful rabbi with the radiant face sitting on a rocket launch pad? That must be Moran Daf Pei Daled. The beautiful rabbi with the radiant face sitting on a rocket launch pad next to a woman's mikveh shaped like a rocket ship, which reminds us, the Gemara tells Rabbi Yochanan's beauty and how he would sit near the woman's mikveh, where they would see him after tefillah, so they would have children as beautiful and as learned as he. He wasn't concerned about an ayin hara, as he was the descendant of Yosef HaTzadik, over whom the evil eye has no power. So the beautiful rabbi with the radiant face sitting on a rocket launch pad next to a woman's mikveh shaped like a rocket ship told the powerful robber in the water right near him, Hilcho L'Araisa, which reminds us, the Gemara tells of the story of Rabbi Yochanan and how he convinced Reish Lakish, who was abandoned, to do tshuva and what ultimately transpired in their relationship. So the beautiful rabbi with the radiant face sitting on a rocket launch pad next to a woman's mikveh shaped like a rocket ship told the powerful robber in the water right near him, Hilcho L'Araisa, after seeing him jump from a building where a rabbi suffering inside was heard every night inviting afflictions upon himself, which reminds us, the Gemara tells how Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon accepted suffering upon himself for arresting people and then of his passing and delayed burial. So once again, the beautiful rabbi with the radiant face sitting on a rocket launch pad next to a woman's mikveh shaped like a rocket ship told the powerful robber in the water right near him, Hilcho L'Araisa, after seeing him jump from a building where a rabbi suffering inside was heard every night inviting afflictions upon himself. All right, so now it's time for four Blabak Chazara. Daf Pei. So the Simmer Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. The painter, that must be more on Daf Pei. The painter who just finished his painting called Two Men and a Broken Blade, featuring a cow with a broken blade plowing in a correct location, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Asokas apar lacharosh bahar, vacharosh babika. If someone rents a cow to plow on a mountain, and instead he plowed with it in a valley, and the plow's blade broke, the renter is not responsible since it's even more likely to have broken on the rockier mountain. If he rented to plow in a valley and plowed on a mountain, he's liable for the broken blade, which may not have broken if he had kept terms. The Gemara discusses which worker is liable for the blade where plowing was done in the correct location. So the painter who just finished the painting called Two Men and a Broken Blade, featuring a cow with a broken blade plowing in a correct location, and was busy working on his next masterpiece called Donkey Down with a Lighter Load, depicting a donkey collapsing loaded with barley when it was rented to carry wheat, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one rented a donkey to carry wheat and loaded it with barley instead, which is lighter, he's liable for the donkey's injury. The same applies for loading with straw instead of grain because the volume of lighter materials is as difficult for the donkey as weight. So the painter who just finished his painting called Two Men and a Broken Blade, featuring a cow with a broken blade plowing in a correct location, and was busy working on his next masterpiece called Donkey Down with a Lighter Load, depicting a donkey collapsing loaded with barley when it was rented to carry wheat, told his client to take the painting he was commissioned to do and then bring him the money he owes him, making him only a Shomer Chinam, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that all craftsmen have the status of a Shomer Sachar and teaches that once he tells the one who hired him, take that which is yours and bring the money you owe me, he's only responsible as a Shomer Chinam, since he's not holding the article as security for his pay by demanding payment before returning the item. Daf Pei Off. So the Simon Daf Pei Off is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, that must be more Daf Pei Off. the grandpa who finished borrowing his friend's wheelchair and was now considered a Shomer Sakar, which reminds us Rav Chisda taught that once a loan period ends, the borrower is no longer liable as a Shoel. The Gemara asks if he's still liable as a Shomer Sakar and responsible for theft and loss or not. A Maimer says that logically he should still be liable as a Shomer Sakar and explains that since the borrower benefited from the owner's loan, he provides benefit to the owner by agreeing to be a Shomer Sakar until it's returned. So the grandpa who finished borrowing his friend's wheelchair and was now considered a Shomer Sakar did not believe the man who rented his donkey when he claimed that it died by the Bekod River when there was no water there, since everybody knows there is always water, which reminds us. The Gemara relates an incident in which a man rented his donkey to someone and warned him not to travel by the Bekod River where there is water which could endanger the donkey. Instead, he was told to take the Nearest Road where there was no water. The renter traveled by the Bekod River and the donkey died. When he returned, he admitted that he traveled by the Bekod River but claimed there was no water there and he should not be held responsible. Rava said, Malei Lashakar, what benefit is there for him to lie? But Abai disagreed. Malei Lashakar b'makom edim lo amrinan. We do not apply the principle of what benefit is there for him to lie where there are witnesses contradicting his claim. Since it was known there was always water by the Bekod River, his claim is refuted. So the grandpa who finished borrowing his friend's wheelchair and was now considered a Shomer Sakar did not believe the man who rented out his donkey when he claimed that it died by the Bekod River when there was no water there, since everybody knows there is always water, and said to his elderly neighbor who asked if he could watch his package of medical supplies, put it down. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Pei Amud Beis taught that if one says, watch my article for me, and the other responds, Hanach lefanai, put it down before me, he's accepting to be a Shomer Chinam. Rav Huna says that if he said, Hanach lefanecha, put it down before you, he does not accept any responsibility. The Gemara asks, Hanach stama, my, what is halach if he merely says, put it down without specifying, does he mean to watch it or that the owner should watch it? Daf Pei Beis. So the Mishnah Daf Pei Beis is peanut butter. So here goes. The peanut farmer, that must be one Daf Pei Beis, peanut butter. The peanut farmer who didn't have to pay back the $1,000 loan when the lender lost the jar of peanut butter he gave to him. As a mashkon, which reminds us, Shmuel rules that if one lends 1,000 zuz and the borrower gives him the handle of a sickle as a mashkon, if the sickle handle was lost, the 1,000 zuz are lost because it was accepted as a mashkon against the entire loan. So the peanut farmer who didn't have to pay back the $1,000 loan when the lender lost the jar of peanut butter he gave to him, as a mashkon, and then found out that a second lender had used the peanut butter maker he gave to him as a mashkon for his own purposes, making him a shomer chinam, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that the Bryce's case is b'malvat tzarich l'mashkon, where the lender needs to use the mashkon. Rav Akiva holds he's still doing a mitzvah and is a shomer sachar, but Rav Eliezer holds he's not doing a mitzvah because his intent in the loan is for his own benefit, and so is a shomer chinam. So the peanut farmer who didn't have to pay back the $1,000 loan when the lender lost the jar of peanut butter he gave to him, as a mashkon, and then found out that a second lender had used the peanut butter maker he gave to him as a mashkon for his own purposes, making him a shomer chinam, saw the person who was transporting a barrel of peanut butter for him break the barrel, which would require him to swear he was not negligent, whether he was a shomer chinam or shomer sacher, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hamavir chavis memakam memakam shvara. If one moves a barrel from place to place and breaks it, the Tanakhama says that whether he's a shomer chinam or shomer sacher, he swears and is pater. Rabbi Eliezer agrees that his rebbeim ruled this way, but said that he's astonished how each can swear and be exempt. Daf pei gimel, so the simon daf pei gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The boy on his pogo stick, that must be more in daf pei gimel. The boy on his pogo stick jumping down the path of good people, where poor porters were given back their cloaks, despite breaking barrels of wine, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that porters once broke Rabba Bar Hanan's barrel of wine. He seized their cloaks as payment, but Rav told him to return them. When Rabba asked if this is the halacha, Rav responded, yes, because the pasuk says, "Mantelach mederek tovim," so that you go on the path of good people, meaning to act, lifnim mishur sedin. So the boy on his pogo stick jumping down the path of good people, where poor porters were given back their cloaks despite breaking barrels of wine, and then past where workers were given a feast greater than the one prepared for Shlomo Melch in his time, which reminds us the seventh parak discusses day laborers hired without stipulating terms or with a commitment to feed them. The Mishnah relates that Rabbi Yochanan ben Matthias sent him once hired workers for him and committed to provide them food. Rabbi Yochanan told his son that even if you prepare a feast for them like Shlomo in his time, you will have not fulfilled your obligation because they are descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the meals served by Avram were even more elaborate than Shlomo's. So the boy on his pogo stick jumping down the path of good people, where poor porters were given back their cloaks despite breaking barrels of wine, and then past where workers were given a feast greater than the one prepared for Shlomo Melch in his time, was surprised to find a rabbi arresting a thief, which reminds the Gemara how Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, came to be appointed to arrest thieves and what subsequently transpired. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you discuss what the status of a lender is if he uses the mashkin, whether he's a shomer chinam or shomer sachar? That's on daf. Pei Beis. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn how increased volume impacts a load, such as in the case where a donkey was rented to carry wheat and it carried barley? That's on daf. Pei. Good. Number three, which of you learn that a shul whose loan period ended remains a shomer sachar until the item is returned? That's on daf. Payoff. Good. Number four, which stuff do you learn about the incident where Elazar and Rabbi Shimon becoming appointed to arrest thieves? That's on daf. Pei Gimel. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn how Rabbi Yochanan encouraged Reish Lakish to do teshuva? That's on daf. Pei Dod. Good. Number six, which stuff do you discuss what one is obligated to feed his day workers? That's on daf. Pei Gimel. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you learn about Rabbi Yochanan's beauty? That's on daf. Pei Dod. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you learn about the case of Hungaria where a rented animal was seized for the king's service? That's on daf. Ein Ches. Good. Number nine, which stuff to discuss what the din is in a case where a donkey dies midway in a journey? That's on daf. Ein Tes. Good. Number 10, which stuff to mean that we do not apply the rationale of Malay Lashakir in a place where there are Aedim? That's on daf. Payoff. Excellent. That was today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.